Well, I never had it so good. Can you imagine turning this old preacher loose this early? Why do you think they did that? I know I've got a reputation already established. One of the most important subjects that any minister of Jesus Christ could ever preach on, the Lord hath in me aim to tackle tonight. Of all the books that have ever been written, there have sure been a plenty of them. Millions of books. But there's only one book that we who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ got our eyes open to our need of the Savior. It came from this book. To us, it is the most precious, the most valuable, the most priceless book on earth. But would you be stunned and shocked and somewhat taken back if I said that there is another book that all earth, when this earthly journey is ended, is going to focus its attention on. All eyes will be on one book. With rapt attention, many are going to look at it in awe and eager anticipation. And it is called in the Bible another book. And then it names it. We'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to the book of the Revelation in chapter 20. I'd like to commence the reading tonight with verse 11. John, the Revelator, said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Heaven and earth, no place for them. I wonder what the JWs will do with that scripture when they're going to talk about the renovating of the earth and we're going to park our carcasses down here for a long while. The next verse said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. There it is. Another book was opened. All other books that are there on this white throne judgment seat, only one is pointed to with emphasis. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, this is the short name for it. We'll go in other references that will speak of it in all of its title. This is abbreviated title. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God bless you. Appreciate tonight this privilege of being in this pulpit to declare unto you the word of the Lord on a subject that is near to the heart of God. It is a book of books. There is no book like the book we are going to refer to tonight. called first by John, another book. Can you imagine the scene? It is the white throne judgment. There are books that are there. One book is going to be the book of remembrance. We are told about this book in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16. A book of remembrance written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. But there is another book also that is going to be there in the judgment. It will be the word of the Lord. This book here. How do we know? Jesus said, in that day, think not that I will judge you, but the things that I have spoken unto you, the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in that day. That's found over there in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. Here the Lord Jesus tells us that the word of God is going to be the checkpoint, and we're going to be examined by how we treated the blessed word of God. But there is going to be, whether one or a dozen or a thousand, God only knows that. But we do know that the books will be opened. And there is going to be a record of all of the deeds committed by mankind here on the earth. God has a good record. One of the computer experts told me that these little disks, micro disks, can hold into millions of details of information. Just a little dinky thing like that. Why, they're just coming into educating themselves into that what God already knew a long while ago. And on his microchips up there, all our deeds are recorded. And it won't be any big deal for God Almighty to bring not only what was said to our remembrance and the tone of voice in which it was said, but all that was done in the manner in which it was done, and on top of that, all that we had thought. For the Lord even knows our thoughts afar off. God's keeping a record. But the most important, the most vital focusing of attention in that great day by all people, men and women, boys and girls, is going to be on one book, and that is the Lamb's Book of Life. For that book will determine what direction we go, to the holy city, New Jerusalem, or to the regions of the doomed. For in chapter 20 and verse 15, notice it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is a subject that hardly any preachers preach on anymore. I don't know whether it's because it scares people skinny to think about it, or they don't want to make people feel bad or give them the blues. I'd rather get to feeling bad and get all the blues now than to have the blues then when I can't do anything about it. All I know is this, that there is only one passport to New Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, and that passport is our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The book of books on the other side. And do you know there are 14 references in the Bible concerning this very important book? And amazingly enough, 7 of them are recorded in the book of the Revelation. And the others, I would like to take you on a Bible journey tonight. I hope you have the book with you. And we'd like to go, first of all, over there to the book of Exodus. The first time ever the book is mentioned in a prayer vigil with dear Moses in chapter 32. He is interceding before the Lord on the behalf of the children of Israel, for they have sinned an awful sin. And we note here in verse 31, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin..." Did you notice what is after that word sin? That long dash? Do you know there are only two of them in the Bible? And here's one of them. The Holy Spirit did not record all that Moses prayed to the Lord. "If you will forgive their sin..." Then the pause. Then he continues, "And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And this man is on talking terms with God. The Lord answers him. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Therefore go and lead this people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them." And we know the trouble even began next, because you go over there in verse 35 and it says, "And the Lord plagued the people, and they suffered for the wrong they had done." This is a good father. A father that when we do wrong, immediately he'll just check us out, won't just let us go and get by with anything. I want it that way, don't you? I noticed this. There was a man by the name of Abimelech. And dear Abraham, God love him, he loved his wife as every man should love his wife. He loved her so much until he said, "Honey, I know that you're a pretty woman, and there are a lot of folks cast a wistful eye at you, and I want you, you're mine. Now, to save my life, when we go into these foreign countries and among these heathen people, I'll just kind of say to them that you're my sister, because in a way you are. Actually, she was this half-sister. He said, I'll just tell them that you're my sister, and then that'll save my hide, and I'll be able to still have you too. But it didn't work out just that way. For when he got away here into the land of Gerar, the king over there, Abimelech, saw that woman, and why, he really wanted her. So it wasn't long before he made the arrangements for her to stay overnight. But he got more than he bargained for that night when he went to sleep, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And God Almighty said, talking to him, he said, "Abimelech, you're but a dead man." Hey, that got his attention right now. He said, "For the woman that you have in your house right now, she's another man's wife." He said, "Lord, I took her in the integrity of my heart." He even told me himself that she was his sister. And listen to the Lord talking back to him. "I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, but I am appearing to you now to withhold you from sinning against me." Do you get that? God does not want us to sin. And he uses beautiful overtures to prevent us from getting messed up. For any man tinkering around with another man's wife, he's in hot water. Not only will God, but when that judgment day rolls around, God said, whosoever has sinned against me, whosoever, who's that leave out? Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, I believe in the security of the saints. I believe that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I believe that Jesus is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I believe with all of my heart that He is our protector, our shield and our buckler, and that He will guide us through to the pearly gates of glory. There is a security in Christ, but I run into a problem here, and I'm going to bump into it again. And since it's the Word of God, I'm not here to duck and dodge around problems. The Lord said, whosoever has sinned against me, that doesn't leave anybody out. He said, him will I blot out. Do you know the first reference to the book of life is about blotting people's names out of it? Well, how can you blot it out if it isn't in there? Must have been in there. You can't blot it out. And bless your heart and liver too, if you don't go to the second reference, because in that Old Testament, would you go over there and meet a Psalm 69? Psalm 69. And here the word of the Lord again tells us something about that book. And it's found in verse 28. And I notice what it says this. I'm going to take us back to verse 27. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Here is the second reference to this book of God, the book of the living. And it's dealing with that blotting out business. You know, that's just a little on the scary side. But leave your heart open to the whole message. Don't jump at conclusions. Many a person has bumped into a scripture that stumped them and then closed the book. You can't do that. Let's get all that God had to say. And when you get the full picture on all of the pieces of the crossword puzzle all put together and get the complete whole of those 14 references, it gives us real insight into what God is saying to us. First reference, blot out. Second reference, blot out. Well, let's go to the third one. And it's found in Psalm 139, verse 16. And this is one you can just rest back and breathe a little easier, because David is talking about how fearfully and wonderfully we have been made. And then he talks about all of our members. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which were in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How do you know about God's thoughts? Glory to God. You can get in tune with the Lord until you even know what He's thinking about. God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's got good thoughts toward us. He is not here as a big bully with a club. Go with me to the next reference. Pardon me, Mike. Go over there to the book of Daniel in chapter 12. And you know, we have something here that gives us a further insight into this marvelous book, the book that is going to gain the attention of every eye and every ear, and people will be really, many of them will just be transfixed on that book, wondering, hoping, anticipating, expecting, desiring that their names will be found on its sacred pages. In chapter 12, verse 1, and at the end, and note, at the time shall Michael stand up. William, at that time, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. If you go to the book of Jeremiah, you're going to find out it is in chapter 31, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. It'll be a real nightmare condition for them, but notice what it says here. At that same time, a nation to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Who? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Deliverance for those whose names are recorded. Can you imagine? When trouble comes, warfare comes, who can tell of the armies that are invading the land of Israel and trying to wipe out the children of Israel? Who can tell of those armed forces which one of those people has his or her name written in God's book? I want you to know, children of God, there's only one that knows whose name is in the book, and that's the Lord. And I'm glad that the book is up there in heaven, not down here. If it was resting in the hands of mortal man, then those who are, there are seven denominations that claim that they are the only true church and they are it and nobody else is right but them. I won't mention their names. But they say, we're the only church, and if you don't come through our doors and have your name on our book, you'll never make it in. But I want you to know that every book down here can be burnt up. I want you to know that all the books down here, the pages get old and they get brickly. And I have one book right now, if you would come to my study and see it, it is so brickly I have to turn the pages real gingerly because they'll all fall apart. And believe it or not, it is a cookbook. And believe it or not, it is one that they used in the White House back there in the early 1800s. So old and so brickly. But that's the way man's books are. But I want you to know that the book that I'm talking about tonight, it is not in the hands of man to determine whether to put you in there or to wipe you out of it. Man can't control this book. This is God's book. It's on the other side. And those who came in a vital union with Jesus through the redemption that is in his atoning blood, who were humble enough and sorry enough for the sin to repent of and turn from and forsake them and call on his wonderful name, they got saved and new born again, and their sins or iniquities were blotted out, buried in the sea of God's forgiveness, to remember him against him no more forever. And God's recording angel wrote your name when you got right with him in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, precious book. I want to look a little bit more into it. Jesus said, now we're moving over there into the New Testament in the book of Luke. And in chapter 10, verse 20, we're going to find out that Jesus said when his disciples came back one day, and I feel for them, I'll tell you this. You have ever encountered what they encountered and saw what they saw done, they didn't realize the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, I give unto you power. How much? Over all the power of the devil. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions also. as well as over all the power of the enemy. And they went on out, and they were casting out devils in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you this, a real Christian enjoying good Bible salvation and the presence of God in their life, when you see somebody bound and tied and fettered by the devil, and by the authority of the name of Jesus, you can loose them from those demon powers and see them set free for the first time in their life. It is a joy of joys. And they came back rejoicing. Oh, Lord, even demons are subject unto us in your name. But Jesus said, in this rejoice not, that spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Children of God, when have you last taken time out to rejoice and praise the Lord because your name's in the book of life? Jesus told us to rejoice. Or aren't you glad it's there? But you're thinking about it. We ought to think more about that book of life. I tell you this, it'll help our conduct. Why? Because in the Old Testament, there are two references about blotting out there. In the New Testament, believe it or not, there are also two about blotting out. Well, we won't be missing any of them, but one thing about it, we want to know this. We want to be sure our name's in there first. And I'll deal with that and why I blotted it out after a while. But I want to go to the next reference. Would you go with me over the book of Philippians now? In the book of Philippians, in chapter 4. That's after Ephesians, so those of you who are not quite familiar with that part of the book. And in Philippians chapter 4 is recorded here a message concerning this wonderful book. And verse 3 will be all right. I'm gonna start over here. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Here is the Apostle Paul, who knows those dear saints of God that he's fellowship with. He knows their names are recorded on the other side. That preacher must have been on talking terms with headquarters. That man was tuned in. God let him know those who are really genuine, born again and blood bought, from those who are phony and pretenders and artificial, whose names are in the book of life. Well, bless God. I want to move a little further down the line there because I've got to get over there to Hebrews chapter 12 and 23. Hebrews 12, 23. The Lord Jesus is speaking. Chapter 3 and verse 5 first. Hebrews 12, 23, before I get to that that Revelation 1. Hebrews 12, 23. And here's what the word says. Addressing the general assembly of the church of the first name, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. That's the New Testament, we call it, but it is a covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. For his blood cried out vengeance and judgment upon Cain for having taken his life. But I want you to know the blood of Jesus does not cry for vengeance, but it cries for mercy and pardon and forgiveness for us. Hallelujah to his name. But notice here now, he said to the church of the first name, which are written in heaven. Thank God that's the place where the book's at. Even the devil can't tinker around with it and mess it up. Bless God, it's in safekeeping. Now let me move a little further on down there. What does this Bible have to say about that book? It's so important. I want to hear you to hear, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. Before I make any of my own comment, I want you to hear what God has to say. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to a church. And in that body of believers, they have been in a rather sorry state of grace. Actually, they had a name that they lived, but they were dead as a doornail. They had a good reputation in the time past, but somehow they've been fizzling out. They've been cooling off. In fact, it says over here, he says, you got a name that you live, but you're dead. Can you imagine a bunch of dead folks in church? I thought they belonged in a funeral parlor. Bunch of dead folks in church. Well, physically they weren't. But the Lord Jesus, who was speaking here, knew that they were living corpses. Spiritually dead. And he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Folks already dead, folks got the death rattle in their throat. Folks in a dying condition. What made them die? What's happened that these are in a dying condition? Something's been messing them up. And church, this is where we who are the ministers of Jesus Christ need to speak it plain and clear, as flat as a pancake, lay it down to you. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? D-I-E is what the Bible says. He said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in what? Trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the courts of this world. There's some of you still a walking the courts of this world. You know, when we really get saved good, we lose the world and the world loses us. I mean that there is now a break between us and the world. A division. I remember one place I went, business place, and a man said to me, who are you? I said, why? He said, you're different from us. What are you doing here? Bless God forever. Even the sinners can tell a child of God that we don't fit, we don't belong. Where in the world was I at? I know you're plumb curious right now. Well, I was at an auction. That's the best place to go. Why, you folks go to your discount store, is that anything? If you know how to buy, you go to the auction. And I oftentimes bought for our church, especially for our vacation Bible school, where we got all of the gifts that we give to the children in the vacation Bible school days. And that's why I was there. What are you doing here? He could tell I was not one of them. But I want you to know, children of God, that when we're with the people of God, we have a song that we used to sing. Brother Lauren and maybe Jimmy Ruth, have you all sing the song, One of Them, One of Them? I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, bless God forever. We've seen that and get happy. Thank the Lord. Belong to the family of God. Best family in all the world. And there isn't a hypocrite in the bunch. Now, there may be some wagging around the church house, but I'm talking about the family of God. Bless God, there's a difference in the two. And mark this thing down. He says, yeah, I wouldn't want to go to that old cathedral of Mark because there's a bunch of hypocrites around there. Listen, all thing about it, bless God, by the Lord's help, we're going to keep it so preaching so straight and so hot and so heavy until the hypocrites either move up and get in and get right or else move out. or get run over. Thank the Lord. If they're here, at least they're exposing themselves to the gospel to get right. I know there may be those who try to feign themselves Christian and skulk off to hell dressed in the robes of the righteous, but they wish they had. When it comes that day, when the books are opened, and another book is opened, which is the book of life. And I notice he said here, there are those not only ready to die, he said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember therefore from whence thou, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. This is Jesus doing the talking. And thou shalt not know what hour, didn't say day, month, year, century, what hour I'll become upon thee. He said, thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Not defile their garments. Kept them clean. Do you realize what garments he's talking about? It is not the glad rags you got on your body. When we get saved, he covers us with a robe of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. And those what he is referring to here. And now note, verse 5. Sobering verse. He that overcometh, watch it now, the promise is only then to the overcomer. Overcome what? There must be something to overcome. And the good promise is, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I like to have Jesus bear my name up. How about you? Amen. For the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's what his word said. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Y'all don't know what that says? Well, somebody come to life. Depart, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? It'll mess you up. It'll defile your clothes. Well, let's notice this. He said, I won't blot your name out. Lord, write it on our hearts. I'm moving a little further. Would you go with me over to chapter 13? And in verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's the devil's impersonator, the devil's false artificial Christ, the Antichrist. All that dwell on the earth are going to worship that dude whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. When was Jesus slain from the foundation of the world? That's an error. That's a printer's mistake. Oh, no. In the councils of heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when man sinned against God, he knew he would. He made a provision in advance for his redemption and recovery. Slain from the foundation of the world. You know, Jesus even said this when he was giving the communion service to his disciples for the last time in the Passover service. He counts himself already giving his life on Calvary, already shed. He said, this is my blood that you're drinking. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. This is my blood you're drinking. And yet he still had it coursing through his veins. Why did he say it that way? Because he knew he was going to go to the cross and nothing could stop him from getting there. If you would read real carefully, some of you haven't read it real carefully, but if you read over there in the garden where the Lord Jesus was praying those three times and comes back and finds his disciples a-snoozing, he asked them, he said, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? He said, watch and pray why? Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But I'll tell you this, why our old flesh will be made stronger if we pray more. We need to be a praying church. And I don't mean saying prayers, and we need to pray. When I read this Bible and he said this, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that should come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When he said, watch and pray always, did he mean what he said or didn't? He said, pray without ceasing. He said again, watch and pray always, 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 without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You can anybody faint, that means you're losing heart. I'm going to throw up your hands and quit. I hear about quitters these days. I'll tell you this, there's nothing for me to go back to. Glory. Nothing to go back to. Amen. I've started out for the kingdom. Thank the Lord to retrieve that. Bless God, anything can happen around. Hallelujah. Is calling to our attention about that book of life. And each of the references we've had so far, it's the book of life, the book of life, but it does not give us all the title yet. You've got to keep it going, and that's where people don't really know the full meaning of the Scripture because they haven't gone far enough. And I'll tell you this, when we're really a praying people, we'll get moving up into God. And then God will begin to open the eyes of our understanding and revelate that Bible to us. And what He don't show us, it just isn't worth talking about. Now here it is, verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest. Now there are two of them, you know. The Antichrist is also called the beast. And then the false prophet is also called the second beast. But he said, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, Lord of mercy, and go into perdition. Now, those of you who haven't ever seen that before, that is the final abode of the wicked. Perdition is the second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Perdition is the lake of fire. If you follow the reading right on all of the rest of the way through the Revelation, you'll pick that up, especially in chapter 20 and 21. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. Notice it. There are names that weren't in there. And they're going to wonder when they see this beast that was and is not and yet is. And then it goes on and gives you the description of them. I won't go into that. My subject is the most precious and valuable of books, and that is the book of life. Move with me on over now to chapter 20, where twice this same word is mentioned, and I already gave you in our text in verse 12, the book of life. Go with me now over there to the 15th verse, and he says this, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. But go with me now to chapter 21 and verse 27. And here's where you have, finally, the complete title when we come to the second to last reference. That's as far as the Lord holds back before the fullest revelation comes. And there shall in no wise enter in to it, that's the holy city, anything that defileth, say, must be clean. We used to sing a song. How many remember that song we used to sing? Heaven is a holy place, no tobacco there. All the folks are holy, just up there. If you refuse to do God's will, the Bible says you're filthy still. Have you ever heard that song? Oh, you haven't been around. Amen. Heaven is a holy place. Amen. He said, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. Even the church is supposed to be that. And he even said, be ye holy, for I am holy, and touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive unto myself and be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want to listen to him talking for a while. I hear a lot of other folks bumping the gums, but I want to hear somebody talk. He's got something to say. Here it is. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Say, if I've been hearing things right, even folks on TV in the Capitol, they lie and they don't even care that they lie. I want to know what they ought to look at that. It would put some care in them. Or maketh a lie. The only ones going to get it into that place, though, are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There you got it. The Lamb's Book of Life. It's Jesus' book. It's a sacred book to Him. It cost Him His life that we might have our names in it. He paid the full price for our redemption. We, the devil, had a mortgage on our soul. And I want you to know that Jesus paid it off in full. So you look at me a little funny. What do you mean He paid it off? He said this. Paul is talking to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He said, feed the flock of God which He has what? Purchased with His own blood. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. He said, for you are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit which are God's. Can't do with this body anything we want to do. My body don't belong to me. Does yours? It says you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you are not your own. My, the folks whose names are in the book of life are not their own. They belong to somebody else. We had in our church a dear sister White. God love her. She is the most timid, backward lady that I ever met. So bashful, she couldn't stand and look anybody in the face. Always looked down. But one day, God just did something for her. She got in one of those services and got filled full of heaven's sweet Holy Ghost. And she got so full, bless her heart, she got her a sign. She made up the sign, printed on the back of that, a good verse of Scripture. And she tied two strings on it, and she put her arms through it, and she was walking back and forth in front of our church. And what do you think it says on the back side of there? He owns me. Three words. People beside said, who in the world owns you? She said, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you who owns me. Jesus bought me and paid for me. I'm His. He redeemed me by His blood. I'm saved. Are you? No. How do you get it? She brought more people into the church and to that altar and to Jesus. because she was not ashamed that he owned her. Are you ashamed? I hope not. May I go to one more reference? When I look at that clock, I'll be glad when the time comes over in Revelation chapter 10 and said that time shall be no more. Hallelujah. Chapter 22, and yeah, I'm just through with my introduction. That's what's messing me up. Look at verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God says, don't tinker with my word. Don't tamper with the scripture. He said, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him of the plagues that are written in this book. And I mean, they're hot and heavy. And then there's another if in there. If any man, boy, who's that leave at, shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. When I look at those scripture verses about taking their part out of the book of life, what in the world is in the book of life of people's names? It's serious. I beseech you and plead with you tonight. Most of you are Christians here. There's some of you that once knew Jesus, you cool off and got away. You cool off because you were winking at the world and flirting with sin and worldly pleasures, and you neglected the fellowship of the saints of God. You neglected the house of God. But thank God you're here tonight, and there's nobody here to beat you over the head. We want you to know this. Don't tinker with, let the devil tinker with your thinker. Amen. Don't let him mess you up. You say, oh, there's no harm in that. It's just one of those little old no harm sins. I want you to know that there are no little no harm sins. All of them are deadly. He'll minimize, he'll kind of play down anything to get you nibbling at his bait. I want you to know that all the devil's bait has got a hook in it. And all the devil's apples have got worms in them. You go ahead and nibble around there, and I'll tell you this, you get messed up. But Jesus, when he was praying, says, Father, while I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. But now I come to thee. Father, keep through thy own name those thou hast given to me. Father, keep them. They're going to need keeping. Because we're in a world that's polluted and contaminated, and you can get soiled. That's why the scripture says in James 1:27, keep yourselves how? Unspotted from the world. The world will spot you. And that's the reason why we need to have a separating point here. I don't have any place for the world in this entertainment. That goes for the moving picture shows too. Well, I know you think I'm an old square, I'm an old fogey, and got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel after all 70 years old nearly. And he said, well, he's about ready to cash on out anyhow. He can talk that way. But I want you to know when the Lord saved me, before I was 20 years old, that was the end of that for me. That means that on November the 1st, 1935, I took my last bottle of booze and my last old coffin nail, that's a cigarette. Amen, the last one of them, and went to my last moving picture show. Amen. I want you to know this, when we get saved, we're new creatures in Christ. When our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're different from the world. Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world unto me. Amen. And I have to tell it to you straight, because the pleasures of this life and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches will choke the Word of God and make you unfruitful as a child of God. When you get lean in your soul, then the devil can just take you by the nose and lead you any way he wants to. And you just be a willing captive. There are those that the devil, you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, he tells you that the devil's taken people how? Captive at his own will. When can the devil use his will over people and take them captive? When they've been nibbling at his bait and playing around, tinkering around with him. Until you get to the place, until you don't have the power to resist. But I want you to know who this, children of God. Since even when I've been alone these 2.5 years, many times snares and traps have been laid for me. But I said, oh no. I've come too far on my journey. I've passed too many filling stations to go back now. And I'm not going to mess around, play around with a little old few moments of sensual pleasures and sin and lose out with God. Heaven's cheap at any cost. And I am treating you tonight. Let's move up in God. This church, we need to have a spiritual church. And a spiritual church is one where the Spirit of God is in control and running place. Where the Spirit of God is teaching us the Word. Where the Spirit of God is anointing this service. Where the Spirit of God is helping us to pray. Where the Spirit of God is guiding us into the Word in divine illumination. When the Spirit of God is having His rightful place in there. That's a spiritual church. And I want the Spirit in control of my life. How about you? We're going to have an altar call tonight. And we're going to seek the Lord. And if any of you, I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, please. Children of God, pray. I don't know who's here tonight. Could be that there's a precious man or woman, boy or girl that's unsaved in this place, that does not have their sins pardoned. Their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to forfeit that beautiful place that God's preparing by His Son for us. And they're going to be left out. Brother Tom, if you get that song, is your name written there? You know that song? Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. Father, I'm praying right now for this congregation. These are precious people. Every one of them eternity-bound souls. And Lord, we know that we'll never have a service just like this one again. And may not ever all the same people be here as are here tonight. And there's somebody that you're reaching out for. You're talking to their heart. You've given your servant, Lord, help to break the bread of life and give them your precious, pure word, undiluted. Lord, that they may see what we have, a glorious prospect to look forward to if we're really born again and saved from our sins. But they're yet in their sins. And it's been hard for them to break away from. They tried to quit many times, but they found out those habits and those evil desires have too strong a hold on them. There are those that even got hatred and bitterness in their heart. There are those, oh God, that even got a retaliation in their spirit towards somebody who's wronged them. And when the opportunity would present itself, they'd like to get even. Oh God, show them they can't get ahead by just trying to get even. That there's a better way, and put it in your hands. Help, Lord, let no one forfeit their hopes of heaven because they treasured sin and iniquity and ungodliness in their heart. We pray, Lord, that you give us a repenting church. You said, repent from whence thou art fallen. And Lord, we're here to repent. Put your finger on the things that are wrong in our lives and help us to really fess up and come all the way clean. And Lord, give that sinner man, sinner woman, the ability, the strength, the power, the will to come to an altar prayer and make peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for the answer. Please stand.